Six.
I looked at this list a long time ago, and I just didn't like it.
I mean, I looked at it because I needed to find out where we were.
But we were at 30.
Yeah, we're 29, and we're live, by the way.
We're live.
Okay. Well, we're live.
Yes, we're doing the IGN Top 100 list.
We're finishing it.
On the NOLA Nerdcast. Things are awesome.
Yeah, you could see 95 through 30 last week.
Man, we burned through a whole lot last week.
We did. We didn't. I don't think we gave enough attention. But these are the top 30. These are the most important games. So I want your A-game material, people.
Uh-huh.
A-game for the A-games.
A-game material.
A-game.
All right.
Well, we already talked about Final Fantasy VI, so really, why even bother to keep going?
Well, because Final Fantasy VI was like 20 points down.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, why do I care?
Yeah, to get to Centipede has not been named. So the
or will it? Nokia Snake is number 29.
Which one? Wait, what?
No, I'm joking. Number 29, Super Mario Galaxy.
Super Mario Galaxy? That's not Super Mario Galaxy 2, the infinitely better version of that game.
That was my question to ask you. Is Galaxy 2 better than 1?
I know people hold 1 in higher regard because 2 is just basically a glorified expansion. But 2 overall is the better game, and it brings you Yoshi.
I think this is a great time to start writing down how many Mario games are in the top 30, because I think our audience should play along. This is 1 so far.
Okay. I remember I played this briefly where I controlled the Wiimote while you were doing something.
Yeah, because you didn't want to play actual platformers. So
I also didn't have a Wii at that point.
You waggled. You waggled like a pro.
I got a Wii way too late in the life. Like, why did I even buy it that late in the life?
Yeah, by the time you bought it, they had pulled a Microsoft Kinect.
Yeah, basically.
And it just had been garbage.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But you got Boom Blocks. You were in the Boom Blocks era.
Cool. Do you guys have any memories of Galaxy?
Nope.
All right, cool. number 28, Shadow of the Colossus. This game just got a remaster a little bit ago. How are you guys thinking about Shadow of the Colossus?
Well, I actually finally beat it now that it had a remake. I never actually got past the second Colossus in the PS2 version because I just couldn't be bothered. And then I never played the PS3 remake. The remaster. This is a remake. But I enjoyed it. It was pretty easy to predict where it was going to go. But I don't think anyone really plays it for the top-notch story.
Yeah, the beauty of the game is just the atmosphere.
It wasn't even from that era,
and
really.
The story didn't matter in PlayStation 2. But like the giant colossuses and climbing up and killing them, that's just fucking beautiful.
It's the most interesting game, I think, that's come out in the last 15 years or so. But it's extremely divisive. There's no middle ground on.
Don't you mean divisive?
No, I stand by what I said. But there's no middle ground. You either love this game or you fucking hate it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with Ico or Eco, whichever. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Number 27, BioShock the First.
I believe it. BioShock. Yeah. BioShock was one of those games that when it came out, I believe in 2007.
Correct.
It was like the first year of the 360 lifespan. Oh no, the second year. But it was the first game that really made you truly feel next gen. I guess the 360 had already had like Dead Rising and Oblivion and stuff, but BioShock was that game that people talked about. Like, I remember it was BioShock and Assassin's Creed were the two new IPs that just had people caring. And I guess Gears of War. But it was a big part of why the 360 had such a dominant stranglehold in the early days, because having this game as an exclusive was a huge deal.
You know, this is one thing that I don't think a lot of people really talk about BioShock is how fucking responsible it is to the right wing movement and the libertarian movement.
anyway,
it's an Ayn-Randian game.
I really thought you were going to bring it around to Elder Scrolls. I really thought everything.
No. Nothing is ever going to go back to Elder Scrolls.
If you go to Elder Scrolls, I'm just going to boot you.
No, BioShock's awesome. That whole game, the atmosphere of the game is probably the most amazing thing. Rapture, the city itself is the best villain.
And I think it also has one of the best twists in a game. Like an honest to God, no one saw it coming. And this was before the era of hyper spoiling everything on Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter was barely a thing at this point.
Yeah.
I think people were just still just saying hi to each other.
Right. And I mean, the would you kindly moment, that realization. And it's one of the few games where the twist changes how you look at a second playthrough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is easily one of my top five games of all time. It's one of my top five favorite games. I replay it every couple of years.
Yeah. And, my question is, has any other BioShock game come close?
No. Everyone has been slightly worse. With, I think, Infinite being really worse, but I haven't replayed Infinite in a long time.
You should replay Infinite.
Well, I've got the collection. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. I will say, though, this game also started, at least for consoles, with shunting the story to collectibles with the audio diaries.
That is true.
Something that every console game afterward would be like, well, we don't have to write story. We can just put it in a diary.
The BioShock approach of audio diaries. Was BioShock really the first one to start doing that?
I think the first one on consoles. I mean, Resident Evil had like the little diary portions you could find, but like nothing so involved.
Well, I know, I mean, you're right though, because it became a staple.
Yeah,
whether it was finding written stuff.
Thank you for bringing up the Resident Evil one, because there's a one diary in Resident Evil 1 where the person's talking about the virus and so on, and then as the days go on, like the infection keeps on happening. And, like, the last pages of the diary is just like, ah! I was like, this zombie is now writing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite diaries is actually if you follow the story of Andrew Ryan's mistress as shit goes from bad to worse to worse to her becoming a revolutionary. It's really great stuff that's easily missable. Matt, you're gonna have some words on this one. Number 26, The Legend of Zelda, The Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, hot garbage choice. Here's the thing. When was this? Do we know when this list was legit started? Like, was it in May or something?
No idea. It just says 2017.
So, I just don't understand why Matt hates this game so much.
I don't hate it. It's just
overblown
in its praise. It's a decent Zelda game. It deserves credit for switching up the mechanics and the formula, but it gains so many issues that hold it back at the same time.
Let's talk about weapon durability.
There is no weapon durability. You spend more time micromanaging your inventory and hoping that you're like, at no point should the game, if you're taking on a challenging foe, should you lose because the game gave you shitty weapons and even your Master Sword runs out and then you have to wait 10 minutes to use it again. Like, it should be because the enemy beat you, not because the game mechanics like were shitty. And if I want to take on a rock monster at a low level, my skill level should be able to do that. Like, it's Dark Souls style. I mean, Josh, you love games like Nioh where your skill should be the ultimate deciding factor, not I had 12 weapons and all 12 broke. Now I am going to die through no fault of my own. And it also ruins the sense of discovery in the game. Like, there's tons to discover, but there's no gratifying reward for it. Because every chest is just another weapon that's going to break. Like, there's no tangible rewards like other Zelda games where you're like, oh, now I have a new item that fundamentally changes how I interact with the world.
Matt, I feel like this is the first time in your life you've ever experienced disappointment.
We saw The Last Airbender and Green Lantern.
I just have – it's the only time I've had to, like, actively voice my issues with it because no one else seems to share that value or that viewpoint. So it's just annoying.
It is very odd to see you as the voice of dissent.
Right? It's weird to me too. Look, Breath of the Wild, I would put in the upper echelon of Zelda games. It's top half. It doesn't hold a candle to any 2D ones, but it's better than Majora's Mask.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a no.
I've got about an hour into this, so I don't really have a whole ton to say about it. But the weapon durability does is a little infuriating, particularly in the beginning when you're using arms.
Yeah.
Number 25, Civilization 4. I picked up with Civilization 5, so fuck me.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
I started in depth with 5, so, but I just think Civilization as a whole should be on this list, and I'm happy that it's this high because those games are so darn good.
Yeah, they're super addicting. What am I at on Civilization 5? I am at 70 hours, it looks like.
Nice. Oh,
yeah.
Good chunk of time.
Yeah. Number 24, Minecraft.
Wait, hold on. Doug, I mean, you play a lot of PC games. Were you ever a Civilization guy?
No, actually, I didn't do that. I have friends that I've seen play Civ, but I've never actually. It wasn't my jam. Like, I just played Risk for the second time in my entire life.
Man, I love Risk.
It's fun to a certain degree, but I don't get it. It's not my thing. No, why you'd like it a lot, it's one of those things where, like I can get why people are into it, but I'm not into that specific thing. Like, I was more into Sim Earth than I was like most of the other. I liked the whole taking an amoeba to space eventually. I don't know what my deal is, but I'm getting a different stuff. I'm not, and then like, as far as like the real time battle stuff, I was always into StarCraft, so that's all I ever played.
Yeah.
Can I take a quick break, Chris? Attainment. Yeah, I want to show what I showed you. So, comic wise, there was a book that came out this week, called Justice League: No Justice Number 3, and it's one of the unfortunate lead-up books, but it featured two different artists. One that was good, and one that decided to draw Wonder Woman like this. And nothing about this guy's art is good. And you think, like, oh, maybe it's just a one-off. But no, like, that's just how he draws. And then you look at the other artist guy and you're like, oh, okay. That's a good one. I don't know. It incredibly impacted. Like, look at fucking Flash's derp face right here.
What?
I can't. This guy is like a shitty second-rate John Romita Jr.
Are you sure it's not John Romita Jr.?
I looked it up. Wouldn't surprise me if it was. It's a guy that is somehow trying to be John Romita Jr.
This was not my favorite art of the week. This was this really took away my enjoyment.
But anyway, that was that's just a tangent. I wanted to show those two. They appreciate art.
All right, number 24 is Minecraft.
I mean, yeah, I can see that.
The biggest game of the last 10 years.
I just don't get it.
Well, it's not for you.
I know. I'm okay with that. I just don't get it.
You know what I like about Minecraft is
sucks.
Is the modding community around it, and the fact that you can now build nuclear reactors.
Really?
With the right mods? Oh yeah.
What do you need a nuclear? I'm so confused. I don't even. Can we move on?
Okay. Cool. I guess.
I'm sorry. I learned.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We're already moving on. It's fine. Number 23 is Halo 2.
Okay.
Matt, what's your favorite Halo?
2 is my favorite. I have the most memories from 2.
Even though the 2's main story ends on a nothing.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It the campaign was probably one of the weakest in the Halo series.
Mm-hmm.
But Halo was never really as much about the campaign as it was what came after it. And Halo 2 led me to literally half my friendships I still enjoy today. Even if I was never the biggest fan, I appreciate what it brought to the table and how many nights of... I mean, it was the next generational GoldenEye in terms of that was what people played in dorm rooms, at parties, when you had your friends together. Before Xbox Live took off and everything moved online, Halo 2 was like the last king of the couch multiplayer game.
Yeah, that's true.
I would drop it about 20 points. I agree with all your points, but I don't know that it's a top 30 game.
I think if any Halo game is on this list, it should be Reach.
You think Reach?
Yeah. I think Reach just has a much more impactful story.
That's fair.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm trying to think of what my favorite Halo is, and it's I'm not sure yet. Number 22, the original Half-Life.
Okay, well, this is more your wheelhouse, Chris. Go.
I haven't finished it. I started it a while ago, and then I had other stuff going on. Yes. I was just I got bored, but I didn't get bored.
Confirmed. This is number 300, 302 games that Chris has not finished.
Well, it's more than
Chris,
that.
Did you just have I thought Half-Life 2 was one of your favorite games.
This is Half-Life 1.
I know, but you never finished 1.
But I didn't get around to 1.
But he went right into 2. He's like, fuck it.
No, because if you recall, 2 came out on consoles.
That is true. Really, Half-Life 1 was on PS2, so where is your god now, Chris?
I didn't have a PS2.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
You dick.
Wow.
You should play the remake. The guy, the
I started Black the remake, though. And I haven't finished it. I just said that.
No.
Listen.
He doesn't listen.
What are you, Navi?
Oh, my God. All right. Fuck it. We're moving on.
Moving on.
Number 21, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater.
Snake Eater.
So I watched that Kefka clip guy who did the videos for all the Metal Gear games. Watch it for 3. 3 looks awesome.
Can I say something about 3 that's slightly unpopular?
Say it.
I prefer 1 and 2 to 3. I know 3 is everyone's holy grail of Metal Gear games, but it is my third favorite.
Okay. All right.
You're just being contrarian.
Yeah.
No, it was because I didn't care for all the new mechanics they added to the game, like the camo system and the health system and the stamina system. I didn't like them.
Okay, that's totally cool. That's everything that I like about that game.
Well, that's why it's great to have the dissenting opinions. Now, the story I thought was really cool. I thought it took it back away from the too ridiculous nature of 2.
Is this the least nonsense Metal Gear story?
It's still 1 is the least nonsense.
Okay.
And then 3, and then 2, and then 4, and then 5.
Yeah, 5 is just wacky doodle.
Nah, 5 is fine.
It's a game for wackadoodles.
That's why it's my favorite. that movie they had of the Snake Eater, I think it's the most cinematic and probably the best sounding of the Metal Gear.
It does also have the best James Bond song.
Oh, it does. It's so good. Also, the dumb lore they put in with the boss and Ocelot is just wonderful. All right. Number 20 is The Last of Us.
I believe it.
Yeah, that's a good spot for that.
So The Last of Us is... You know, people have claimed it's extremely predictable, and I think that's true to a point, but I think it's still really effective.
Like, I agree. Last of Us has become a modern day classic. It's up there with games like BioShock in terms of the best game that the previous generation, the PS3 360 era, gave us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that opening. I've shown that opening to so many people that normally don't play games, and just the lead up to the title sequence. And then people are hooked. They're like, I've got to know what happens next.
I love the enemy choice, the cordyceps, the different versions that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're using sound cues to kind of navigate through areas. I think it's a really interesting mechanic that doesn't get used in any other games.
I agree. I mean, Josh, you played it, right?
Yeah. I like everything about the game is all about its story. Even though you brought up that it's predictable, it's still a well-executed story about two people and survivalism. And the game plays very well in that aspect. And I think that's where even the new God of War pulls a lot from as well. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that Last of Us influenced a whole whole lot of game design.
Yeah, it's called the dadding effect.
Yeah, people call they say that the PlayStation is the new is the sad dad console because so many games nowadays feature sad dads like Heavy Rain, God of War, and Last of Us, and all. It's
a lot of sad dads, you know.
The Cormac McCarthy of the video game.
Who's a what now?
Was the Last of Us.
Yeah. No.
How can we make this darker? Yeah. Grimmer, more Irish.
You could also call it the Logan effect.
Now, Logan pulled The Last of Us. Like, that was when they first gave the art for Logan. The Last of Us comparisons were unavoidable and also really on the nose.
Yeah.
I mean, Hugh Jackman looked like fucking Joel.
Yeah, and it's as influential as the game. It's a great – being number 20 is actually a great spot for this game because it's still a young game. That's gonna move up that list.
Number 19.
Before we move on, do you think the second one will elevate the game or fall short of the greatness of the first? So I guess my question is, will it –
I can't even tell by now.
That depends on if it's called The Second to Last of Us.
Like, we don't know anything about it yet. We won't find gameplay until E3. So I just have to ask, like, boom, do we know?
I'm inclined to say it'll be better just on how, you know, sequels tend to improve, especially with the mostly the same team working on it.
Yeah.
Well, Naughty Dog does have a really strong grasp of how to improve sequels.
Naughty Dog is great at sequels.
Yeah. Now, the reason I ask is because Naughty Dog, are we going to see an Uncharted 4 jump in a sequel, or is it going to be a Uncharted 2 to 3 like lateral movement where it's still really good, but it falls short because it's too similar to 2?
Oh, that's tough.
No, I think there's going to be a 4 jump. That's going to be it looks like it's going to be a larger jump.
We need more information.
Well, what about a 1 to 2 jump?
Oh God, that is the kind of jump people dream of. Yeah. That is the jump of Ascension to God of War.
Uncharted 1 or 2 was insane.
Yeah, it was insane.
Like Uncharted 1, as much as I love it and as much as I owe to it, was a solid 7.5-8 game.
Yeah.
And Uncharted 2 is one of the best games of all time.
The best opening of any video game of all time.
I need more information before I can give you an answer. I need something for it. Number 19 is Doom.
The first Doom.
This is a game that I think people of a certain generation will look at that and say yes. And anyone younger than that's going to be like, I don't get it. Because back in 93 when we had floppy disks and shareware, those first 9 levels of Doom were everything. Imagine my surprise when I got older and found out that there were like 50 more goddamn levels.
You know what game was way better for in the same era? Was the Incredible Machine. The game where you had to use Rube. Like, what are those machines?
Rube Goldberg's?
Yeah. The whole game based around him.
Yeah.
Stuff was awesome.
But no, Doom is really, really great. It changed everything in gaming for a long time.
Yeah, it is.
Before Halo came along.
It is like the grandfather of first-person shooters.
Mm-hmm. And I think I have a soft spot for Doom, even though it's kind of hard to play it now. You know, there's no up-down action.
The game is pretty fucking metal.
Oh, it's so metal. You know what's more metal than Doom?
Fucking Quake.
Duke Nukem? I was going to say Hexham.
No, Hexen's fine. It's Quake. The answer's
no,
Quake.
No, guys, come on. We both know the real answer is Daikatana.
No one likes Daikatana.
I don't know if you know this, but Daikatana's John Romero is here to make you his bitch.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't like that. Is there better opening music than Doom Level 1?
Yes, frequently and often.
No, there isn't. Shut up. You don't know.
We're about to talk about it next.
No, you're not. Number 18, very surprising, Chrono Trigger.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, you know, this should be a flip with Final Fantasy VI. as great as Chrono Trigger is, and how the multiple endings were an amazing thing, and how clean and sharp that battle system is in Chrono Trigger, it still kind of lacked the charm that Final Fantasy VI had, and it still kind of fell. Well,
Chrono Trigger is a top five game for me. Final Fantasy VI is a top three.
Well, I'm just basing out of this list that's just whack-a-doodle, right?
Oh, yeah, it being so much higher than six is crazy. Yeah,
it's but the game is a nearly perfect game.
Like, and you know what blows my mind is that more games haven't borrowed its mechanic of combining your skills with your other characters
yes.
to have yes. double and triple text. Like, how more RPGs not blatantly stole that from you?
Yeah.
It took us to, like, what, I Am Setsuna before we saw another game similar to it?
Yeah, and that was designed specifically to be an homage to the Chrono Trigger era.
Yeah. Chrono Trigger was one of those games that was always kind of like the one in a glass case at the game store because they never... It was never available anywhere. And then the DS version came out, and it was like everyone was like, oh, yeah, this game is fucking great.
Yeah, the DS version was amazing because it was a great transition to it, and it made it portable and added new features and more content.
It's like the Final Fantasy VI Game Boy Advance port. It's the superior port. But you have to have a DS.
Or you could have just been smart and just got the Final Fantasy Chronicles that had Chrono Trigger on it.
No, but see, the problem
I said superior port, not port.
Yeah, the problem with that one was the load times for Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy
Battles. This was awful.
Yeah, like, I love that they added, like, FMV, like, animated cutscenes. I thought that was awesome. But the load times coming off of the Super Nintendo were just really bad.
Remember when Square did all their games like this?
Yes.
Very clean, simple design. Like, yeah.
It was over on the wall over there.
No, what I remember is when Squaresoft released a demo disc on the PS1 that had Brave Fencer Musashi, Bushido Blade, Final Fantasy VII, Parasite Eve.
Yes.
Yes. And another game, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, that was great. You know, I haven't had Chrono Gears on this list, which is really upsetting.
What?
I haven't heard Xenogears on this list.
Oh, you're not going to.
I've got some bad news, my friend.
It's not on the list. I know that. I've seen this list.
Game is poop.
Number 17, Grand Theft Auto V. The moneyest making money game that's ever moneyed.
That's true. It is still a nonstop whirlwind of making money.
So I finished. Did anyone play this besides me?
I played it for a bit, but my issue
with those games
is still around.
Yeah, I have to applaud that. You know, they took Grand Theft Auto 4, which was so revolutionary, but you know, when you went back to it, it's not so great. It's really ugly, and the car driving's bad. And they kind of tweaked the car driving to make it fun and prettied up the game. And I thought the story was actually really fun, all things considered. Now, I didn't get into Grand Theft Auto Online because how could you without forking over $100 every month?
That's weird.
But, you know, I think Vice City is my favorite, and I think Grand Theft Auto 5 is the best.
By the way, Kogasu's in chat.
Everyone's hi, Kogasu.
Say hi, Josh.
I did. I said hi. I said, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're waiting.
$165 million to make, and it made $1 billion in its first 72 hours.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Rockstar should just make just anything at this point.
Well, here's the thing. We're about to find out if how Red Dead Redemption works in regular sales versus an online mode, because there's a reason Grand Theft Auto 5 scrapped their plans for single player content.
Yeah.
And because online mode just would not stop printing money, and it made no sense to dedicate millions of dollars for more story mode. But I'm curious, because Red Dead Redemption is way stronger on the story aspect. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see if Rockstar is a changed company.
But, Matt, you can buy a flying car.
I know.
It'll cost you $50 real.
No.
That's you can also fire an orbital strike. That'll cost you like $100 real.
Oh, why? Why are people spending money on this?
Because it's fun.
Okay, I guess.
Just because you don't have any fun doesn't mean anyone else can't have fun.
Go do drugs.
Okay, no. Why would you say that? Number 16, Dark Souls is the Dark Souls of being on this list.
Is it just the first Dark Souls?
Yes, Dark Souls the first. This one was very hard, and I didn't play it because fuck it.
That's good.
Well, my issue was that I thought it was, at the time, before I understood what Dark Souls wanted me to do, I thought it was cruel to take away all your earned souls after you died a second time going back to it after everything respawned.
Yeah.
And now I understand that's the point of the game, and I just don't want to play it.
Chris, you're not going to get it on the Switch? Try it on the go?
No, I gotta get Bloodstained on the Switch. I don't have time for that.
He doesn't have time for dying.
I don't have time for that. I know people love it, but you know what? It's okay. It's not for me.
Okay.
It's like the Thundercats cartoon. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Women in Battlefield 5.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Can we?
Let's take a break. We're at number 15. Let's take a break.
We have to talk about that. Because Battlefield 5 got unveiled today, and in a wonderful move that is hilariously pissing off all of the whiny white boy bullshit people that ruin gaming every fucking day. EA was like, "Hey, fuck you! Here's a woman soldier on the cover of Battlefield 5," and the internet. Parts of the internet reacted 100% how you expected.
Yeah.
And I love, my personal favorite is the people suddenly caring that it's not historically accurate in their World War first-person shooters game. And so they're trying to deflect their racism and sexism by going, no, it's just not historically accurate. I'm like, fucker, you put out a fire on a tank by hitting it with a wrench. Don't come to me about your historical accuracy all of a sudden. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's total bullshit. It's fake outrage over nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. It's a video game. It's a fucking video game, people. Holy shit. If you had this much rage for anything, we wouldn't be in a shit of a situation that we're in our world. But other than that, yay, women characters in video games. Because
it's crazy, man. You can't.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I just can't handle shit right now. No, I think it's great that EA is doing this. I think it's awesome that they're doing World War II, taking the Battlefield 1 approach in World War II, and it's a lot better than having a fucking giant battle royale. Black Ops 4.
I don't know. I think both of them are going to do really well.
Oh yeah, they are.
Because Black Ops doing the Battle Royale mode, but I think sorry, trying to plug something in.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about Battlefield 5 is, and you can tell that this is entirely inspired by the reaction of Battlefront 2, is that Battlefield 5 is doing away with a DLC traditionally. All map packs and everything will be given out free. There will be no like premiere pass, season pass shenanigans.
Which is great.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes me want to get it, actually. Really.
Okay. Number 15. Right. Street Fighter 2. Just 2, not alpha, not beta.
Oh, yeah.
Just 2.
All right, I'm happy with this.
But championship edition, obviously.
No, just 2. Turbo, super turbo.
Turbo. Oh. 2.
Turbo.
Just 2.
Super turbo.
Right. Here's the question. Who's everyone's favorite Street Fighter 2 character?
Blanca.
Ken.
It is Ken. That is the correct answer.
Blanca's cool. Blanca's got electricity.
Yeah,
Chris.
He's scrubrific. Yeah, it's on everything. So whatever.
Yeah, Street Fighter 2 is great. If you haven't played it, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Shocking that Mortal Kombat is not on this list.
Street Fighter 2
is shocking.
Street Fighter 2 is the granddaddy of fighting games.
It's a little shocking. Number 14, Super Mario Brothers.
But the second one, because it's the Super. The first Super.
The first Super Mario Brothers.
This is the second
Mario Brothers was garbage.
This is the second Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, Super Mario Brothers
is the key. One that changed everything.
Yes.
Matt,
tell me about Super Mario
Bros. It's a blast from the past.
Oh, stop.
14? Are we at 14 at Super Mario Brothers?
Yes. Papa, tell me about Super Mario Brothers before.
I was 3 years old when I beat it, and it's the first game I ever got, and I got my NES present, and I beat Mario.
Crazy.
Three-year-olds can barely hold their head up, and you beat Mario?
First of all, Chris, you know that's bullshit. Three-year-olds given like can do insane stuff with iPads nowadays.
That's true.
When that's the only game you have.
Oh, you mastered the fuck out of that.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. I 100% used all the warp pipes.
He could defeat Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
At three. What were you doing at three?
I don't know. Chris, what were you doing at three? Were you still
being a fucking loser is what I was doing.
Yeah, you were.
I wasn't beating it.
I wasn't beating anything. I think I was trying to watch yeah. The cartoons yeah. Came back every Saturday.
No one remembers the three-year-old when there were threes. So, or something.
No one but Matt. Yeah, because no one but he's Matt. A savant.
Yeah. Congratulations, number 13.
Matt, when's your MLG contract coming
I think
in?
It should be higher, actually. No, it should. Going to include
no.
Old-ass games.
What?
If you're going to include these old-ass games yeah. For reasons of influence, I feel like Super Mario Brothers deserves to be higher than this.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see why in a bit.
Okay.
Because Super Mario 3 is number one. Anyway, I don't mean to ruin the list. Spoilers.
Yeah.
I didn't read it. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay, somewhere.
That's why I'm doing a Mario countdown.
Yeah.
Number 13 is Halo Combat Evolved.
Eh, Halo 2 is better. Halo 3 is better.
No,
Halo
yeah. Reach
is better.
Halo 2 could have been here, and I would have.
Now, Halo 1 gets the distinction of being the only reason the Xbox existed and survived past its second year.
I'll give it that.
Halo 1 gave me the first. I had the first interaction with a Halo dude bra. I was working with this guy, and he came up to me. He's like, "Dude bra, have you played that Halo?" And I'm like, "What?" That was it.
That was just a bunch of words. You're just making sounds, Devin.
I remember when I was first shown Halo, and it kind of blew my mind, particularly with it being on the Xbox, because it just looked really good at that time.
Yeah.
I think that this Halo is the one that focused the most on the story, and the multiplayer was an afterthought.
That's how games. Yeah, that's how it would have.
So. But I don't know that two Halos should be in the top 30, particularly 1 and 2. I think
It should have been pick one, yep. Put the other one way lower. Although I'll give this one credit because really the only reason I like Halo at all is Red versus Blue.
Yeah,
so, that's my.
it also built a company, so there's that. There's that.
Kept everybody afloat.
Yeah. Number 12 is Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Nice.
This is a good, kind of good spot for this game because this is a perfect game.
This is probably my favorite game of all time.
This is a perfect game. Castlevania Symphony of the Night from every single.
So this is number 12, right?
Yeah, this is number 12. That's, yeah.
It's still a little low.
The action RPG elements of this game are just so good.
I'm weirded out. I don't know what's coming.
And the loot, and just the whole loot system about this game was so good. And all of the classic Castlevania monsters just all in this game. And the castle flipping upside down, and you have a whole second part of this game. Holy shit. And the music. Holy fuck. This is some of the best video game music. And some of the worst video game writing.
I don't know. I'm not going to say worst.
Chris,
I'm going to say it's awesome.
Do your thing.
What is a man? With a pile of secrets. Let me not talk. Have at you. I adore. I don't even care that it's terrible. I love that it's terrible.
Is that terrible writing? Or is that?
No. It's terrible acting. It's
okay, bad writing.
Yeah, it's...
And then coupled with kind of okay, bad performance. Because it's in your head and you're eight.
Yeah. I know. But one of my favorite things about this game is when you first hit through the castle and you're as Alucard and you're just a badass, you're killing everything.
Reject when
you don't know what's going on. And next thing you know, Death shows up and Death's like, you know what? Fuck you. All your stuff's gone. And you're like, oh, shit. Now I got to punch stuff.
I love that. That first time I played that, I was like, oh, that's bullshit.
Now
I guess I have to just play this game. All right.
So yeah, it's a perfect game, and
maybe I don't know that I'm going to go that far, but it is my favorite game of all time, and I think it's perfect, but it may not be.
And it's also a game that's very easy to pick up again and play and enjoy.
Yes. Number 11, Portal 2.
By the way, Chris, I don't know if you know this, but Castlevania is Kogatsu's favorite series as well.
I do know that, and I'm happy that Kogatsu was here to hear us gush about how good it is.
Hey, look at chat real quick.
All right, fuck you. It's not for lame faces. You're a lame face. Matt, what's your thoughts on Portal 2?
One of the best games around.
Yes.
I remember this game came out right when the PSN hack occurred and the PlayStation Network went down for a couple months or a month. And the two of us were playing co-op because that's the beauty of this game is that it has one of the most perfectly written and paced single player campaigns filled with some of the most humorous writing in gaming. But then it also has an incredibly ingenious co-op mode. And the amount of times Chris and I had that aha moment where we're stumped on a puzzle and then it fucking clicks and we do it, and that rush is unparalleled.
I think like both of those games, this is the thing, you got two games with Portal 2, and both of them are perfect sequels to Portal.
Yeah.
And rather than choose them, they just gave you both. Because listen, I don't always have a friend, and that irritates the fuck out of me. If all I've got is a co-op game, that would have pissed me off. Because I love Portal, and sometimes I want to chill the fuck out and play something by myself where I figure something out. But the co-op is so good, and it was great because like you have an afternoon or two, you can actually play that with a friend, and it was really fun. But I don't always have that. And both games were just as good. Like the single player is amazing. And what I love is you get to the point where normal Portal, you were done. And then you've got the actual game to play. Like, you hadn't even started yet. Because you like that's when you go underground. And it's like, oh, I've got all... And the story's good. It was intriguing. Like, yeah. I was wrapped in what we were finding out about GLaDOS, about the whole fucking system.
That's and I love when you find out where it takes place in the story.
Like, I love that the Portal guys write more story than is remotely necessary for the type of game that they're doing. They don't have to tell us anything. There didn't have to be a story at all in Portal. But you can read the extremely long backstory that is very good of your character anytime you want. They're not going to give it to you in the game. There's no room for it. And then, two, they figure out a way to convey a lot of story in game, and I thought it was just amazing. So it's one of my favorite games ever. For just playing by myself. And then you had the car. So
Matt, how good is Cave Johnson?
Cave Johnson is great. I actually went on ThinkGeek or the Valve store or whatever, and I bought a plush exploding lemon grenade, and you pull the pin and it vibrates.
You also bought a Cave Johnson portrait that said lines.
I did. It was a motion-activated portrait that when you walked by it, he would say one of 20 Cave Johnson quotes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, that was great. It was. I remember it was an April Fool's joke of theirs, and then the demand was so high, it was the first of their April Fool's jokes to be turned into a real
thing. I remember that. Yeah, it was like the thing April Fool's becoming, like that's the first one I remember becoming a real product.
Yep.
Tauntaun sleeping bag. It started becoming like a product test.
Exactly. They're like, here's an April Fool's joke. How people react. Okay, it's a real thing now.
Okay, it's
Portal 2 is so good that I know everyone cares about Half-Life, and they're like, where's Left 4 Dead 3?
Where's Portal?
Fortress 3? But for me, it's where's Portal 3? That is the only third of a game that I want.
Which is so weird, because it would be so easy just to make Portal levels.
Yeah.
And no one cares.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said before, they're too busy writing way more story than is necessary for their game. Like, Portal 3 is going to be intricate, I promise.
It's never coming.
It's never coming out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hey, Josh, get your pen ready. Number 10, Super Mario 64.
Boom!
Matt, what do you think about Mario 64?
It should not have been as good as it ever was, like, at all.
Yeah.
Let's be real, because this is the game that ushered in true 3D gaming, and it was a launch title. And throughout almost the entirety of the N64's life cycle, and even including PS1 and Sega Saturn, almost no other 3D platformer touched its quality.
Yeah.
Crash, Spyro, like any the Legacy of Kain, whatever Saturn games there was, Banjo-Kazooie, none of them approached what Super Mario did on day one.
And it is amazing how good how well made the game was, how just beautiful the level design in that game was.
Yeah.
For it being one of the first of its
kind. Donk.
Yeah.
It's
insane just how great that game was. When you got the 64, you had that game, or Wave Racer, or Pilot Wings, or something, but it was Mario 64 was the game that you played all the fucking time on that shitty controller.
Oh my god, that controller was a nightmare.
We're gonna have a goddamn GoldenEye party, and I'm gonna wipe the floor with all of you because I think I know that controller better than I know.
Oh my god,
I'm gonna win because I can't play with that damn controller anymore.
Why? Exactly. Why was there a thing in the middle?
Well, Chris, you'll have a reason to find out if you can, because Nintendo just trademarked the N64 Mini.
I'm not buying that.
Or the N64 Classic, I'm sorry.
I'm not buying that at all.
That would be something I would
I am definitely getting the 64 Classic.
I don't know. I think it's going to disappoint a lot of people.
I think they're going to redesign the controller, honestly.
I don't get it. Okay.
Hey, Brem's in here.
Hey, number 9 is Red Dead Redemption.
More like Red Dead shouldn't be this high.
Do you really think it shouldn't be this high?
I think it's a top 50 game. It's not a top 10 game of all time.
Yeah, this is weird for it to be this high.
Yeah, I'd switch the Grand Theft Auto with this one. Place
I don't know.
If you're gonna have a Rockstar game,
yeah. If you're gonna have any Rockstar game, it should be L.A. Noire.
Yeah, well, L.A. Noire.
No.
Even in the top 10.
Not in the top 10, but if you're going to have...
I mean, like, if you're going to combine influence, sales, etc. Grand Theft Auto, was it 4? That was just...
5.
5. Yeah, that one deserves to be up here. I'd still be arguing against it being here, but if you switch them, I'd be less irritated. Like, Red Dead doesn't deserve to be in the top 10.
Yeah, That's weird.
Well, I mean, it had such a great story, allegedly. I didn't get to it, so I don't know. But it's
great. There's two really awesome reveals in this game. One in the first quarter of the game, and one right at the middle end of the game. So,
do we know? Was this like the offices at the? Was this Kotaku?
No, IGN.
IGN. I mean, that decided this, or was it a poll?
No, it was.
It was them.
It was them. It was the people at this.
That feels like the office skews Red Dead, but that's the type of players we're talking about.
Yeah,
in this place, because there are people that love that game disproportionately.
Yeah,
and that's what that feels like. There's no way this ends up in the top 10 if that's not a bunch of Red Dead players who played it together. it's not a broad spectrum, is what I'm saying in that grouping. You know. It's great, but it's not top 10 material all time. Come on. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Number 8, Half-Life 2, the one I did play, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I find more and more to like about this game you know, every time I think about it. It's the last super huge first-person shooter, because there's so many levels and there's so much to explore. I think Alex is a great companion to kind of have around. The gravity gun is game-changing. To the point where I can't, believe that no one else has stolen it. And I actually really liked the episodes 1 and 2 that came out afterwards. But it's kind of hard to get super hyped because you know that there's no ending. So, like nothing matters.
Yeah, and that's why
it's still really good, though. It's just nothing matters.
That's why this being so high on this list is also strange for me, because this is, if there was a Half-Life 3 out already, I think this, where it's out on the list, would be perfect. But like, since there isn't a Half-Life 3, then why even put Half-Life 2 on this list when you put Half-Life 1 on this list? It's just I don't know. I think there might be a cult of Half-Life that people need to start acknowledging. I think there might be something going on here. So there will never be a Half-Life 3?
Well, we know there won't. They released the plot that was going to be Half-Life 3, so at least we know how it ended.
Yeah, so...
Now, I want to say one thing about Half-Life 2 is that I built my first computer because of it. It was such a big deal that it was going to game-change the genre and everything. So I built my first computer to play Half-Life 2. And let's not forget, Half-Life 2 launched Steam.
Yep, you had to download Steam in order to play it.
Steam started with Half-Life 2, and it was required. And it wasn't a storefront yet, at least not for anything that wasn't Valve. But without Half-Life 2, we don't have Steam. And without Steam, we don't have PC. PC gaming would have died years ago.
Yeah, yep. Where it should have died.
I don't know.
Oh, don't say that. That's all dead.
I'm kidding.
But no, I think I'm due for like a replay of Half-Life and its episodes. So we'll see. But it just makes me sad to think about it. Number 7 is Tetris.
Eh.
I mean, Tetris is a really fun puzzle game.
Yeah, why?
It's one of the most important and influential games of all time. But
only because it was bundled with the Game Boy. But I don't know, if it was not bundled with the Game Boy, I don't know that we would be talking about it so much.
Can they rewind this and just acknowledge the fact that
it's the Game Boy, and then transferred to be the only game people had on their cell phones for years?
Yeah.
And it's worldwide phenomenon.
We just said Half-Life 2.
And then Tetris.
And then Tetris.
Yeah, Tetris is better than Half-Life 2, confirmed.
Final answer.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I like Tetris a lot. I don't really know there's anything to say about it. It's fucking Tetris. Everyone's played it. It's good.
There's only one thing to say about Tetris, Chris.
What's that?
I said Brentel Floss had a great video.
He did. He did. Back when he was making stuff.
Well, I haven't heard Pong yet, and I'm going to be very upset when it's number one.
Hey, Matt, Tetris is better than Final Fantasy VI, according to this list.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, get your pen ready. All right, well, bye, Josh. I'm not talking about Tetris anymore. Number 6 is Super Mario Brothers 3, the one with the Tanuki suit.
This is the best Mario.
Yeah.
Really? Yes.
Better than World.
Oh, yeah. World is a close second, but Mario Bros. 3 is the superior one.
Huh. Okay.
Here's the reason why.
Explain yourself.
Well, Chris, let me ask you. Do you prefer Arkham Asylum or Arkham City?
I prefer Asylum.
There you go.
So you're saying the tighter focus.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any gameplay
mechanics? Here's the thing. Everything World does is just an expansion on what Bros. 3 did.
Okay.
Like, Mario 1 to Mario 2 was a jump in terms of mechanics and change and everything. Mario 2 to Mario 3 was a massive change and jump in mechanics and everything. Mario World is a refinement of Mario 3.
Okay.
Not to say that's a bad thing. That became the standard formula, but Mario Bros. 3 started it.
We also learned in Mario Brothers 3, we're talking about Mario Brothers 3, right?
Yes.
Yes.
that Bowser had children.
Yes. The Koopa Kids are such a great way to make it so that, unlike Mario 1, you're not fighting Bowser at the end of every world. The new mechanics between the hammer suit and the Tanuki suit and the raccoon suit and the fire flower and everything. The frog suit was amazing. The ability to stockpile items and use them when you needed them. All the secrets.
Yeah. It was cool.
And visually, it was so different. Every world, the ice world, the water world, the giant world, the desert world. Like,
I like them going with a theme from, like,
yeah.
Because it's like a theater. It's like it's a play being put on.
Exactly.
There's a lot of cool little mechanics in this game. It's a good spot.
What's next?
Number five, Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
The best Zelda game of all time.
Okay.
Which, yeah, this should...
I'm fine with it being five. That sounds...
Yeah. If Ocarina of Time is higher than this, then it
well,
is...
Well, they haven't said Ocarina of Time yet, so you know it's going to be...
It's coming up. I know it's coming up, and this is the best Zelda game. This is the Zelda game that I remember waiting so fucking long for it to come out, and my concept of time didn't make any sense, where I was tired of playing Mario World, that I just needed Zelda. I was just, where's Zelda? Why isn't Zelda out yet? Zelda should have been out already.
Link to the Past might be one of the greatest sequels, even though it's not a direct sequel. It's like Mario being a sequel, but just the Super Nintendo was home to so many phenomenal sequels and follow-ups that it's disgusting.
Yeah, this is the best action RPG. And it's beautifully done. The game looks great. It still plays great to this day. And the two worlds was just a great mechanic.
Okay. Yeah, I've only played A Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds, which is basically this game. And I think that game's really great, so, you know. Number four, Super Metroid.
You know, just like Link to the Past, it took a great NES game and just made it an all-time classic.
Mm. Super Metroid
spawned an entire genre.
I can't even... This game is...
Oh. Yeah, so that's Super Metroid, you don't get Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Even playing with the SNES, I mean, the Super Nintendo Classic or SNES Classic, playing Super Metroid again, it just feels... so great of a game. This game.
And the sense of discovery, unparalleled.
And I'm just going to focus on the music also. This is another game that there's something to do with that Castlevania Metroid game style, that it's the music itself is a story. The atmosphere is a great story. Going back and exploring old spots in the game and figuring out, oh, now I can do this. Now I can go here. Now it's like, oh, man, this is a great spot for this game. I feel like this is a number three game, though, instead of number four. I don't want to know what's number three.
Well, it's too bad you're committed for the rest of the episode.
I know. I'm here.
And I played this pretty recently, and I was kind of blown away at how really strong it is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And, you know, kind of – it kind of shows that the Super Nintendo may be the best system of all time, had the strongest lineup of games.
Yeah, because we've got two games right now that's in the top five.
Yeah. Number three, Portal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt, do you prefer Portal 1 or Portal 2?
Portal 2.
Portal 2 is significantly better, but Portal 1 isn't, like, bad. It's you know what I mean? Like, it's the same. It's kind of like Portal 2 is like Evil Empire. You know, like, it's the same thing done more, better,
yeah,
and more in depth.
I don't know. This is where Witcher 3 should have been.
This high?
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
I know it's not. Shut up.
I love Portal. I think I prefer 2 to 1 as well. But I mean, there's just it came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, no. Because what people tend to forget is that Portal was the game no one had heard of and no one cared about in the Orange Box, which was all people cared about was Team Fortress 2 and the Half-Life Episode 1, or Half-Life 2 Episode 1. Portal was the, like, I don't know what that is, and then it dominated and took over the world, and you couldn't shake a stick without hitting the Cake is a Lie parody.
Yeah, I was going to say, this list is a lie.
Well, not necessarily.
No, it's...
But I mean, like, Portal was like, it can't be understated how Portal came out of literally nowhere, and everyone was like, oh, it's a weird puzzle game based on something called Narbacular Drop. Who knows? And then it became fucking Portal. It's incredible. It plays so well, and it's... Even knowing what I know now about it, it's still kind of really fun to go back and re-explore everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Number two. Yes. The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, can we just skip?
Yeah, I don't agree with this.
I mean, look, I know what's happening because Ocarina of Time is like Final Fantasy VII levels of nostalgia fellatio.
Yeah, I just don't agree with this.
Matt, do you remember the Brental Floss video about Zelda?
Yeah, and how Link to the Past was way better.
Yeah, how it was way better, but it's a generational gap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to.
I mean, it is, but I know the problem is it's less a generational gap and more of a primacy. There's a thing called the primacy effect where the thing you experience first has a greater impact regardless of its inherent quality.
That's true.
Just like Final Fantasy VII, that era of 3D gaming was most people's first exposure to Zelda and their first exposure to Final Fantasy, and they never played the ones that came before, and they never felt the need to because they were moving forward. And it's because of that that those two games specifically have dominated the mindset, and they became so popular at the time that they're now the only ones that are ever remade or rehashed or re-released, and it perpetuates the cycle. But yeah.
Yeah, but this generation gap thing is interesting when we reveal the number one game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, since that's all about it, because I've never played Ocarina. Number one, the top 100th game of all time, according to IGN, Super Mario World.
Five Mario games in the top 30.
Five Mario games.
That's way too many, I think.
It is way too many Mario games. But Super Mario World is a really good Mario game.
It is. It's not as good as Mario 3, but it is very quality.
This is a game that I'm playing right now with Kate. Like, Kate and I are playing it. We're just going through level to level, passing off the controller, and it's we're getting these really cool moments where, you know, we both played the game completely separate times, completely separate parts of the world and so on, but we know the same little secrets. We know the little thing, or we're showing each other little secrets. Oh, this is how we did this, or this is how we did that. So, like, there's a lot of cool memories with this game if you think about your childhood when you first get your Super Nintendo and you're playing this game. And then, you know, you do the little Yoshi Island part, and then you finally get into the bigger world, and then each and every single level has their own little secrets to it. And each and every enemy has their own little way to defeat them. Like, there's a lot of really cool mechanics in this game that just opens up and spreads to, like, all of gaming. So I can see how this is the number one game. This game has influenced all of modern video gaming.
I like your analogy of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. I hadn't quite considered it like that before. I've played a little bit of World, and I think it's very good for what the Mario games were of the time. But I don't have any more insight than that.
I know Matt had to play Mario World.
Oh yeah. Loved it.
But, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, how Mario dominates this
Mario.
I think it says more about the people making the list than it does about the game itself.
Yeah. It's still a great game, but, like, yeah, the Mario games dominate this list, and it's just it might be a generational thing.
Maybe.
It's people who played Mario 64, because that's why Ocarina of Time
is number 64.
They started with Nintendo 64, and then they went back.
Which was then PlayStation, which means Final Fantasy VII. You know, it's that same sort of generation.
But it is weird. There's a lot of games on here that should be on that list. And Shadow Hearts 2 is a game that should be on this list. And it really upsets me that Shukunin 2 is so low on this list when it should be higher. I don't know, Mass Effect, Assassin's Creed, like there's a lot of games here that are just skipped over for other games and sequels where they could have just picked the stronger of the sequel or it's, I don't know. There's not even like, yeah.
I do wish they had picked the strongest one from each game. Yeah. That's how I prefer my lists to go. Maybe we'll try our hand at making our own list.
We should make our own 100 games.
You know what? We made a list a while ago, and I really think we should revisit it again because it has been, when was that, Chris? 5 years ago?
Okay. Yeah. 5 years ago, y'all made a list?
Yeah, I remember because Uncharted 2 was the big one. I don't think Uncharted 3 was even out yet.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Hold on, I think I still
remember Final Fantasy VI was number one, and I felt very proud.
Yeah, because you fought tooth and nail to get it number one.
Damn right I did.
The ING lists are really strange, because like we brought up about maybe a year or 2 years ago, Skyrim was number one on this list.
What?
We brought up this list about a few years ago, and Skyrim was number one on this list of greatest games of all time. And now Super Mario World's number one on this list. I don't know what last year's was, but it's just the lister, it's all depending on these people. It's all depending on who these editors, who these writers are at IGN. So if Kotaku did a list, God Hand would be number one. I'm just saying. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, God Hand is not on this list. Nioh is not on this list. So there's a lot of really great games that, was Zone of Enders on this list? I forgot, because it's so, no. There's,
speaking of, they're about to release a PSVR Zone of the Enders game.
Yeah, is Rez on this list?
No.
There's so many games that have just been missed, and it's just like, I don't know.
In favor of putting Rando, get on there.
Yeah.
Well, we had our fun with IGN.
We did.
We'll be back to a regular episode. Maybe we could go, if we can find the list we made a couple of years ago, we'll talk about it.
Well, look, I never got to talk about the NPD results, but we'll talk about them next week because, boy, yeah,
Let's have a regular show next week.
Yeah.
Good.
But look what I picked up this week.
What? What is that?
Is that the Mega Man collection?
Yeah.
It sure is. Look at you go with your Mega Man collection, with your badge.
Well, what about that Mega Man X collection?
Not out yet.
I know, I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to tell you. It's not out yet.
Okay.
Anyway, let's wrap it up. I've got a pack for a flight at 6 a.m.
Yeah. So, we'll be back next week, same time, 8 o'clock Central Time.
Normal show.
We'll give IGN a break. We'll stop battering them so badly.
True. Even though,
important disclaimer.
100 lists.
Even though, disclaimer, it's not their fault. They did their best.
It's not their fault. It's their fault that they're young.
Yeah, they were born stupid.
Yeah. So, until next week, usual time. Everyone have a good night. We'll see you later.
Good night, everybody. Good night.